memorizing as a theme verse for our family camp, 2 Peter 3:18. So if you want to, if you don't know that verse yet, and you kind of, I'll let you cheat just a couple times, you can read it. But the goal is to have it memorized by in just a day or two. And so if you want to turn there to 2 Peter 3 and kind of find verse 18, it's the last verse of the book that kind of really puts together. Oh yeah, we got power now. There, got the juice? There we go, got the juice. Got the power. All right. So 2 Peter 3:18, so we're going to say the reference and the verse together and give a little bit of gusto, a little bit of volume this morning. Say it good and loud. Here we go. 2 Peter 3:18. But
grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Now, we are looking in this passage, our theme is knowing Christ and growing in Christ. And I want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, so I'm not going to re-preach last night's message, but I want to let you know how we got to where we are today. In verse number 1, we find that our common bond is Jesus Christ. And it says, Simon Peter, he's the author of the book, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And the word obtain is the idea of receiving. And like precious faith, like precious means that of the same value. It was used to designate equality of it was a monetary value, but it was especially used in dealing with citizenship and position in a country where somebody who was not from a city, when they moved to that city, they weren't natural born, but when they became a member of that city, they had all the rights of someone who was natural born. And the point is this, in Jesus Christ we all have the same standing before God. There's no first and second class Christians. There's all ethnic, all skin color distinctions, all religious distinctions, all social status distinctions. Every distinction has been erased in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know why? Because Christ is all in and all. Second, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in and all. We all have the same standing before God, and because of that, we now have the same access to the same God through the same Savior for all that we need to live for Jesus Christ. And I tried to make the point yesterday, some people have this mentality that because someone's a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, that God has, you know, favorite children, and that we somehow have, I have special access to special grace for my trials that you don't. And I have special power to help me have victory over sin that I struggle with that you don't because I'm one of God's favorite. And that's not true. We all have the same access to of the same grace, mercy, peace. Every blessing of the gospel is equal, equally available to every believer in Jesus Christ. Our common bond, what do we have in common? It's not our nationality. It's not that I'm from the U.S. Here, you're from New Zealand. Well, we don't have anything in common. Yes, we do. If we know Christ, we have everything in common because our common bond is Jesus Christ, the faith in the same Savior. That brings us today to verse number 2, where I want us to see this, is that continual blessings abound in our lives of every believer through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says this. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look this way, please. Now, when I read this passage, I used to just think this was a greeting, right? Kind of getting introduced. Now, everybody has different greetings all over, okay? We're coming to New Zealand, you know, good day, mate. All right, that's a nice greeting. That's how you say hello. I grew up in South Carolina. Here's how we say it. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm from Indiana. It gets shortened to, hey. And depending on what part of the country you're from, there may be a little different greeting. And you kind of read it, and you think, oh, Peter's just kind of being polite, and he's doing a greeting, you know, grace and peace be unto you. Kind of a Bible greeting. That is not the case. He is really, really pointing out here to every person who has this faith of the same value in Jesus Christ. He is pointing out some of the blessings that all of us share in Jesus Christ. And here is his desire that these two of these things specifically are really characteristic or trademarks of believers in Jesus Christ. Remember, one of the reasons this book was written was to show what authentic Christianity or a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Look at me. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, our lives ought to be radically different than people who don't know Jesus Christ. Because a person who does not know Jesus Christ does not know two things specifically in this verse. They have no access to grace. And number two, they have no genuine peace in their lives. Our lives ought to be demonstrating that. It ought to be exuding, permeating, infiltrating, dominating the life of every believer. So let's look at two things. Look at the first one. It says grace. What is grace? You know, I don't mean to be unkind, but I find sometimes that we've kind of cheapened the meaning of grace. What is it? Here's how I hear it defined all the time. Oh, it's, you know, the acronym God's riches at Christ's expense. What does that mean? Oh, no, it's God giving to us what we don't deserve. Okay, what does that mean? Is that all grace is? If that's all we understand grace to be, we are not even scratching the surface of the riches and the beauty and the power of what it is. This is a Savinsky definition of grace. All right, here you go. All right, it's going to be exciting. Grace is this. It is God's divine enabling power that works in us, through us, and for us, in which we and ourselves are not capable of doing. How do we say it? We talked about last night, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by
grace.
Oh yeah, so that's God's riches at Christ's expense. Is that all it is? Is it simply God giving to us something we don't deserve? Let me ask you this. What power could take a hell-bound, sin in bondage, completely corrupted, completely controlled by sin, eternally condemned by that sin, without hope, and absolutely helpless to change their condition in themselves? What could possibly intervene in the life of that person and take that person who is dead in their trespasses and sins and make them alive with the very life of Jesus Christ, remove all their condemnation, break the bondage of sin, and make them free in Jesus Christ? What could do that? God's riches at Christ's expense? It's the divine power of God that works in you and through you and for you, something which you are incapable of doing. By the way, don't forget, that's the same grace that saved you. It is the same grace that empowers you to live for Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11, 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I love that word appeared. It has several different meanings to it. But one of my favorite is the idea of light bursting in on darkness. It speaks of divine intervention and divine aid. And the light of the gospel through the person of Christ bursts into the darkness of man's depravity and wickedness and sin, and it bursts into our darkness and it reveals Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and hope. And it's been made available. Look, the gospel does not, not everyone's going to be saved. I hope you understand that. When Christ came, he didn't save everyone, but he made everyone savable. He made it possible for any person to be saved. No matter how wicked and how horrible they are, he made it possible for us to be saved. Now, don't forget verse 12, because they're linked, okay? For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. It trains us. It's a word that means to instruct or to train like a child. It teaches us that denying ungodliness, saying no to a life that is lived without God and his authority, and worldly lust, these sinful desires that the anti-God, anti-gospel culture in which we live draws upon the desires in our bodies to live sinful lives. We're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should or ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace empowers you to live a life that pleases God in a culture and in a world that is anti-God and anti-gospel. How can you do that on your own strength, right? You can't. It's God's grace. He says grace is to be a part of every believer's life. Now, we're going to see something very interesting. We're going to look at the end of the verse, but keep that in your mind. Grace. Number two, look at the next word. Grace and what? Peace. What is peace? Think about that for a second. What is peace? Does that mean no problems, right? I mean, that's what peace is. When my life has absolutely no problems. If peace is the absence of problems, then you, my friend, will never know peace for more than 5 minutes. Right? Not peace. Peace is this. It is an untroubled well-being that comes from our relationship with God in trusting Him completely in all things and for all things, and it is given to us by Him no matter what our circumstances. Now, how can we have peace from God? Well, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, before we were saved, did we have peace with God? No, Colossians 1 tells us that we were the enemies of God and alienated from God by our wicked thoughts and deeds. We're the enemies of God. However, through Jesus Christ, he says this, Therefore, being justified when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we now have a new legal standing. All of our sins have been wiped away. All of our sins are clear. We're no longer the enemies of God. We're the children of God. And now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at me. Because we have peace with God, now it has opened up the channel of peace from God. Only those who have peace with God can have peace from God. So here's what that means. Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, Paul writes it this way, for he is our peace. Christ is our source of peace. And so he says, we can in life, in all of our troubles, all of our trials, all of our difficulties that we are going through, we can have, even in the darkest day and the hardest trials, we can still have a life that is characterized and knows genuine peace. Now he says this, look back at our verse. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, the word multiplied literally is the idea of abounding or growing. And it has two ideas with it. It's the idea of growing, yes, but it's the idea of a continual growth. It's not the idea that it happens one and done. It's in the Greek tense, which means it's to be continual. It's to always be growing. And here's the idea. So let me kind of give you an illustration of this. And I know that for some of you, I know I live in the States. One of my favorite things I love to do in the U.S. is I love to hunt, okay? I'm a big hunter. I like to hunt with a bow and arrow. I hunt with a rifle. I hunt with a shotgun, muzzleloader, whatever it takes to get a deer or a duck or pheasant or whatever it is I'm hunting. I'll use whatever weapon I can to get it, okay? So one morning, I was hunting. We have over there, we're called white-tailed deer. And they're a little bit smaller than some of the deer that you guys have over here. But one of the ways we hunt them is we have tree stands. And so I got up in the morning and I try to be in my stand an hour before sunrise. So I climbed up in my tree stand. And generally speaking, when you go deer hunting, it's not common to see a lot of deer. A lot of times you're seeing one or two or three or just a few. So I climb up in my stand. As I'm climbing up my tree to get in my deer stand, I see a deer running across the field, the cornfield. And I said, man, that's unusual. They're not usually up this early in the morning. I get in, I have a safety harness on, I'm clipping it in, I'm pulling my bow up, and there's a deer over here. And there's a buck, and that's the male chasing the female, the doe. They're running around. I'm like, good grief. I mean, there's a deer over here. I get everything set up. It's not even legal shooting light yet. And there's a deer running over here. There's a buck over there. There's a monster buck way across the field. I didn't go more than 5 minutes without seeing a deer. And I mean, and right at sunrise, four beautiful doe come out, and a beautiful big 10-point buck comes walking out behind me. Of course, I want to shoot the big buck. And one of the deer comes right to me, walks right, 10 yards from me. And I don't know what that is in meters, so 3 meters, something like that, whatever. Not far away, right under me. And of course, the other three doe take the buck away from me. Less than 25 minutes later, I see the doe come here, and all of a sudden I hear a buck. The bucks make a grunting sound. And when they're trying to call it up, and he's right there. And I got my bow up, shot him at 10 yards. Now he's on my wall, hanging on my wall, and I ate him for dinner, okay? It was awesome. When I think of multiplied, peace be multiplied, everywhere I looked, I saw deer, right? Here's what I think of. Everywhere in your life, you ought to be continually seeing God's grace and peace. At home, at family, at work, at church, everywhere you go. You shouldn't be going long periods of time without seeing God's grace and God's peace actively at work in reality in your life. It's to be multiplied. It's to be abounding. That's God's intent as a believer, for grace and peace to be constantly at work. Do you have peace in your marriage? Are you seeing God's grace giving you personal victory over the sin that you battle with? In your relationships with people at church or in your neighborhood, are you seeing God's grace and peace at work actively in your life? Because he says, grace and peace be multiplied, continually abounding everywhere, in every area of your life. But how does it come? Look back at our text. He says this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, who is the you? It's those who have like precious faith. It's only for those people who have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, look how it comes. Here's the avenue. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, the word knowledge here is actually one of the key words in the book of 2 Peter. It's used in some form or another at least 13 times in a book that only has 3 chapters. It's a key
word. Now, the word knowledge here has a couple ideas with it. The idea is this. It's a thorough, intimate, personal, rational knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ that is based on the objective truth of the Word of God. Now, look at me, please. Get this. We need to remember this. Everything that God wants us to know about who He is, He's given to us in this book. Now, you will never understand the greatness of our God. His ways are unsearchable and His ways past finding out. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You understand that. But guess what? If He wants you to know it about Him, He's giving it to you right here. Now, let's make a connection. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the
Word.
In the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, look at me. It is the written Word of God whereby we know the living Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. So look at me. You can't sit there, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you can't say, well, you know what? Because you're an evangelist, you can know God better than me. We have like precious faith. Same standing. Same access. Mm-hmm. You can know the same God in the same way that any believer does. You know why? Because you've got the same Lord and Savior, and you have the same Word. And it's through knowing Him. It is a thorough, intimate, personal knowledge that is based upon the Word of God, and that comes from walking with God. My wife and I will celebrate our 21st anniversary on February 22nd. Pretty exciting. Now, do you think when I married her 21 years ago, did you think that I knew her? Yeah, I did. Sure, I thought I knew her. You kidding me? Don't shake your head. Yeah, I knew her. But you know what you women do? You men understand this. There's this unwritten law that women can change the rules at any time without any notification to the man, right? Yeah, you understand that. So right when you think you've got them figured out, what do?
Switcheroo, right?
Now, I knew my wife when I married her. But do I know her in a more real and personal and genuine, intimate way than I did 21 years ago? Yeah. You know why? Because of all of the life experiences that we've been through. We've been through deep trials. We've been through joyful times. We have gone through different life experiences in ministry and in family. And I know my wife better today than I did 21 years ago. And I pray God gives us another 21 years plus. And you know what? I'll know her even better then. Because I've gone through life with her. Look at me. Some of you believers, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reality is this. You don't really know your God a whole lot better today than you did a year ago. Because the reality is this. You're not really walking through life with your God. You are not connecting your God to your life experience. And you are walking in your life without acknowledging Him. And you're not seeking to know Him. And you really don't know your God really any better today than you did even a year ago. Can I tell you something? That's not God's intent. He wants us to be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now look at me. Here's the reality. That grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and our Savior. By the way, that's the same grammatical construction at the end of the sentence that was at the first one, which equates God and our Savior. In other words, Jesus Christ is God. That's the Greek construction at the end of the sentence. So here's the question. You answer the question in your own mind. Think about it for a second. If I am not seeing God's grace and God's peace actively multiplying and abounding in my life, actively at work, then what's the problem? Think about it. How do I get the grace I need? How do I find more grace? How do I know more peace? There's only one way. The answer is right there in the text. It's through knowing Christ. Look at me. Follow this. As your knowledge of Christ grows, His grace grows equally with it. As your knowledge of God grows, His peace grows in measure. Do you need greater grace? Do you need greater peace? Where's the answer? Is it finding another good book to make you feel better? Is it finding a good Christian song that when I'm really down in the dumps, I play it and I just feel better about life? If that's what you're looking to, you are looking to the wrong source. It's not found in a song. It's not found in a book. It's not found in your coffee. It's not found in a chocolate bar. It's found in knowing Christ.
look, you want grace and peace. That same grace, that same peace, available to all of us, is found in knowing Christ.
Amen.
And the greater our knowledge of Christ, the greater His grace, and the greater His peace at work in our lives. Continual blessings are ours in our relationship with Christ. And as we close our time together this morning, I would ask you this. You see God's grace at work in your life? See God's peace? Has it been a while since you've known, experienced in a very real, personal, intimate way the grace of God at work in your life? His peace permeating, infiltrating, dominating your life? That's His desire, is growing. If it's not, you know what the answer is? Knowing Christ. That's the answer. And as simple as it may seem, there's a lot more to it. It's knowing your God, knowing your Savior through His Word. That's His desire for us, grace and peace. And by the way, when we as believers are knowing His grace and peace, you know what that does in our families and in our churches? The grace of God and the peace of God at work in our life. Doesn't that have an amazing effect upon our families and upon our church? That the grace of God and the peace of God is at work in us and through us for His glory? Amazing. It's all found in knowing Christ. And if we're saved, we all have the same standing before God. Like precious faith. Access to the same grace and same peace because we have faith in the same Savior. Grace and peace be multiplied unto, it's very personal, you. To you. So this morning, what we're going to do again is I want to this morning ask us to do what we did last night. Now look, I want to be very intentional in this. This is no game. Reflection, when I say reflect and respond, I'm very intentional with this. Sometimes we hear a message, and sometimes we even have an invitation, and we play a song, and you know, a verse or two, and up and go. Look, I like the quiet for a couple of reasons. One, because if you're like me, when I hear the song being played, I've got the words to that song going through my mind. I think of the song. I want us to take the time in quiet to where our hearts are still before the Lord. And just be still and think on His Word. Maybe you want to keep your Bible open and you want to look at that. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. If you want to meditate on what you've heard this morning, maybe the Spirit of God, something was said that really spoke to you and just been going over and over in your mind. You need to reflect on that and think on it. But number two, we need to be intentionally obedient. That's called response. That's being a doer of the Word. We need to respond to our God. When the Word of God is preached, we need to intentionally obey His Word. Whether that is simply praising, maybe you need to confess something, maybe you need to say, God, you know that I am in need of grace. And there's a specific area, a specific struggle. Maybe you are struggling with peace and you say, Lord, you know that I do not have peace. I have a troubled, stirred up, anxious, fear-filled life of anxiety. My life is not demonstrating peace. And God, you know that it's because I'm not walking with you. You may need to deal with that this morning. Maybe you need to confess some sin. Maybe you need to just humbly ask for grace and say, God, I need your peace. I'm going to find that in knowing you. Help me. To even today, just take some time to just set aside, get alone with God, and know your God so that you might know grace and peace. This is very intentional. And I'm going to say this very kindly, okay? Look, the issue is not where you obey. There's not special grace imparted here that's not available to where you are. Do you understand that? The issue is not where you obey. The issue is that you obey. And that is the call this morning. To intentionally reflect and to respond in obedience to God's Word. So let's do that this morning. Let's take a couple minutes of quiet. I know it's a little odd. 2 minutes of quiet in a group feels like a long time, right? I understand that. But let's be intentional in our response in obedience to God's Word. Let's reflect on His Word, allow the Spirit of God to work that truth into our hearts, and let's respond in obedience to His Word so that we might receive the benefits and blessings of obedience to God's truth. So let's bow our heads and hearts together, and we'll take the next couple minutes of quiet before the Lord to reflect and to respond to His Word.